exalts the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Thank you so much. My Aunt Karen was the DJ at my quinceañera. She stood behind a sound system in the corner of the room, picking songs, pressing play, helping a gaggle of very pubescent 15-year-olds dance the night away. In preparation for the night before the dancing of the night away commenced, she made a very special CD compilation of Maria songs for me. Brooks and Dunn, My Maria. Santana's Maria Maria. Ricky Martin's Un, Dos, Tres, Un Pasito Pa'lante Maria. Michael Jackson's Maria, West Side Story's Maria. But of course, there's one Maria song that became a bit of an anthem for me over the years. There, you see where this is going? Yeah. Julie Andrews' nunnery classic, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? How do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Oh, how do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? This month during Advent, we'll be singing and reading and preaching from the musical entitled The Gospel According to Luke. This musical is full of rousing anthems and sweet lullabies. Think everything from Godspell to Edelweiss. Except these anthems, these lullabies, these musical numbers are singing us right into the heart of the resistance, right into the heart of the radical, overturning gospel of liberation. It's no surprise that Christmas is the season that we really throw our heads back and belt it out. See, the writer of Luke's gospel recounts Jesus' birth and everything leading up to it in a way that you might not notice at first glance because it's flat on a page and it doesn't have eighth notes and crescendos. The story is actually told in song. The story is actually told in song. There's today's emphasis. Mary's song, traditionally known as the Magnificat. And it's sung when Mary, after being greeted by her relative Elizabeth, gives glory to God for finding favor with her, a humble servant. But we know she's more than that, right? There's Zechariah's song, often referred to as the Benedictus, which takes place right after John the baby, John the Baptist, is born, and his father, earlier silenced by the angel Gabriel, breaks forth in song. That's next week. Y'all come back. A few paragraphs later in the story, as Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the angels sing Gloria in Excelsis, while a group of shepherds listen in wonder. And finally, right as we careen our way to Christmas, we'll sing with Simeon as he holds 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus and says that God can take him on to glory now. He's seen all there is to see. The writer of Luke sings us the story of Jesus. But these songs didn't belong to the writer of Luke. He wasn't racking up on the royalties to the Magnificat or the Gloria. See, these songs existed long before Jesus was ever born. Portions of them living and moving in Hebrew for tradition for hundreds of years. Sung by mothers and midwives and nursemaids to babies for centuries. You could even say that the lines in some of these songs were Jesus's carols growing up. Songs of joy and remembrance, songs that reminded people of God's presence and provision, songs that told the story of God's work of liberation in the world, songs that told the powerful and the mighty that they better get their house in moral order because God was about to turn it over if they didn't. Songs that dared to demand food for the hungry, freedom for the oppressed, emptiness for the rich, dethronement for the arrogantly powerful. In case you're wondering where Jesus got his wild ideas from, how he dared to read from Isaiah's scroll about sight for the blind and letting the slave go free, imagine what it was like to have a song like the one we heard today sung to him every night before going to bed. Imagine what it was like for his mama to sing.
To the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn.
Imagine what it was like for that melody, for those words to be the sounds Jesus hears from the depths of Mary's womb. See, I think the gospel writer knew that to tell this story, he needed these songs, and I think the gospel writer knew that there was no solving a problem like Maria. That Maria, the mother of Jesus, was full grown and full of the Spirit of the living God. And that the lullabies that had shaped her and her mother and her mother's mother would shape Jesus too. As she belted out this lullaby and anthem with Jesus kicking in her belly, she was telling the world that she had every intention of raising a radical. A radical who would refuse the trappings of empire and violence and militancy and manipulation and cowardice. A radical who would dare to tell the world that they had all they needed and more to take care of each other. And if they kept refusing to by enslaving their brothers and sisters, God would turn the tables on the proud and powerful and greedy one way or another. How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you solve a mother's radical cry for justice and equity, for a new moral and social imagination? Well, when I think about the mothers of the movement, Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, and Jordan Davis's mother, Lucy McBath, or should I say, newly elected representative, Lucy McBath, I know full well that you don't solve a problem like Maria. You don't stop the song of a mother training up a child in the way that he should go. You don't solve a problem like a mother's cry for justice. Herod tried to solve a problem like Maria, and he failed miserably. Joseph thought he could solve a problem like Maria, but God stopped him in a dream. I'm sure Pontius Pilate wished a problem like Maria wasn't staring him straight in the face as he washed his hands of murder, but there is no solving a problem like Maria, there is no solving the problem of millions and millions of women's voices crying out through the centuries, Christmas after Christmas, empire after empire, baby after baby, singing us to freedom. There is no drowning out the song of a mother raising an infant, Emmanuel. There is no quieting an ancient lullaby of the resistance. Because the songs tell us, our God tells us, Jesus tells us our unsolvable problem. Like Maria, our mother, Mary, tells us full-bellied and full-bodied that the world is about to turn.